open up the windows, let the light in. Open up the windows, let the light in. Let the light in, let the light in. Open up the windows, let the light in. Open up the windows, let the light in. Open up the windows, let the light in. Let the light in, let the light in. Open up the windows, let the light in. Open up the windows, let the light in. Open up the windows, let the light in. Let the light in, let the light in.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Squim Community Church. It's awesome to have you with us this morning as we celebrate our risen King.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. Open the prison doors, he parted the raging seas. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be crying. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord.
We are
today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord.
The world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. When you came along and put me back together. Thank you.
There's nothing stronger, nothing higher. with the morning light. The cross has the final word. Death surrendered to the mighty cross of Jesus Christ. The earth would shake beneath the weight of darkened skies. Sorrow for a king whose weakness was our strength. No word he spoke, his love was shown for all to see. Oh, the cross of Jesus Christ is the
He is risen. Three small words that brought the collective pace of humanity to an absolute standstill. He is risen. Three words that shattered prisons. Words that shook the earth's foundations. Words that transformed a sense of utter despair into cries of pure joy and ecstasy. Echoes of history's greatest triumph that still shape our reality. Even today, we're assaulted by constant distraction, countless sources waging war for our attention, yet three words pierce the noise. In our hunger for validation, our desperate pleas for love and attention, three words calm our anxieties. In a universe spinning at breakneck speed, its inhabitants locked in an existential crisis, three words proclaim the purpose of our existence. He is risen. Lay hold of this truth and embrace the peace within. Yesterday, fear reigned in our hearts. Yesterday, we sat in crippling darkness. Yesterday, we suffered abuse and all the accusations of a broken world. But today, our King, our healer, our defender is risen. And this reality doesn't merely accompany us on a meaningless journey. This changes everything. For you see, if he is risen, then all other pursuits become secondary. All of our failures become insignificant. All criticisms and condemnations become irrelevant. There is only his word, his mission, and his infinite, unconditional love for you. Because he is risen, we look to tomorrow. Tomorrow we will stop defining our worth through status and social media. Tomorrow we will together build an everlasting kingdom. Tomorrow and every day after, we will dance in the radiance of a redeeming Savior who crushed death and set us free. There is nothing that Jesus cannot overcome. We know this because he lives. We know this because he is risen.
These are the Epic Kids, and we're going to be singing you a worship song about being a child of God. One, two, three, four. How many kids we have at this church.
Let's pray together. Holy and infinite God, we are thankful that you're as great as you are, and that you're not a far-off, uncaring God. That just the opposite, you're a very down-to-earth, very personal God who loves us extravagantly, who loves us unconditionally, who loves us enough to call to us personally. And Lord, we're thankful that we can hear you, so to speak, knocking at the door of our life and calling our name. Lord, as we understand you more, just how awesome, how transcendent you are, how sovereign you are, Lord, it surprises us that you call to us, for it's clear that we don't deserve such an unconditional love as what you extend to each one of us. Jesus, we're thankful that we get forgiveness when we confess to you, that you, through the Holy Spirit, make a path for us. And even when we go astray, you call us back. You show us how to get back onto the path that you have in store for us. Jesus, today there are still worldly things upon our mind. We pray that as your will is done in heaven, it would be done here on earth, in places like Ukraine. And Lord, for all those that have opened their homes and their houses in neighboring countries, Lord, they're loving their neighbor as themselves, and we ask that you would bless them, doubly bless them, for caring, having compassion. Lord, there are other things in this world and things in our world that are troubling. And we ask that in the midst of the trouble, that you would be the still point in our turning world. That you are, as you are Lord of the universe, that you would be Lord of our life, leader of our life. Lord, in these moments, help us set aside anything that would interrupt us worshiping you. Lord, in these moments, I pray that we could feel your presence, your power, and your peace that passes all human understanding. Lord, you are our risen Savior, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Jennifer Gillis is going to come and read our scripture passage. She's our children's pastor. Thanks for doing that.
Absolutely. Good morning. This morning we are reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 9. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him, for I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church.
So it's always rough coming after a bunch of cute kids singing and dancing. So I'm going to ask you to engage me in a little experiment. I'd like to have you stand. And I'm going to teach you a very simple song. The hand motions go like this. Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Now all you have to do is put the words with the hand gestures. Here we go. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Ba ba da ba ba ba, deep and wide. Ba ba ba, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. All right, you did good. Okay, you can be seated now and be puzzled as to why I had you do that. Here's the truth. That has never happened before. You're the only ones to ever experience me leading and singing that song. And I will tell you this, after your great response, it will never happen again. It's interesting to think the challenge that people place upon the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. Many write it off. Why? Because it had never happened before. And you know what? It's never happened since. It never happened before, and it's never happened since. And well, that doesn't mean it never happened. I mean, I can tell you, I'll never lead deep and wide with adults ever again. See, it's never been seen before, and it will never be seen again, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. The resurrection occurred. How do we know that? Well, history tells us it's so. But Paul tells us very specifically in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus showed himself in his resurrected state to over 500 people. Over 500 people witnessed Christ post the crucifixion, post being entombed. Why? He resurrected. How do we know that Jesus resurrected? Well, here's a few of the challenges to the resurrection of Jesus. No, he didn't really resurrect. What happened is they didn't remember what tomb he was placed in. Now, that doesn't jive with the history, with the narrative. There were two guards placed there. They were overcome. In fact, later, those guards were bribed into not saying anything to anyone else. Now, we know that the disciples knew where the tomb was because the women got there in the morning and they were in the right place. Why? They saw the grave clothes still remaining within the tomb. When in doubt, Joseph of Arimathea would have said, "No, that's my tomb. That's where you placed Jesus." Some would say the resurrection didn't happen because someone stole the body. Now, who would have stolen the body? Two groups of people. The Jews might have stolen the body, or the Romans might have stolen the body. And if they had stolen the body, as this groundswell of resurrection started to happen, what would they do? They would just bring out the body and say, "Look, it's just a sham. He didn't resurrect. He's dead. He's right here." Well, why didn't they do that? They didn't do that because they didn't have the body. Now, you have numerous accounts of witnesses and of different sizes, some individual, others as large as 500 people. Some would say the resurrection isn't true, and I would say to them it's true, and I know it because of changed lives. The resurrection changed the lives of everyone in AD 27. And since AD 27, people have their lives changed by a declaration that Jesus is the leader of their life, that Jesus is their Savior and Lord. And that's happened throughout the centuries, and it's still happening today. No, I believe the resurrection is true for all of the reasons that I've told you. Because of the resurrection, there are some great things that we know are true. One thing that we know is true is that death is not a dead end. It's a doorway to resurrection in heaven. You know, the greatest fear of human beings is death. Personally, I don't think I fear death. I have issues with the dying process. But I don't believe I do. My father-in-law passed away about 10 days ago. And he was a person that I believe hung on to the reality of heaven and did not want to stay any longer in this world. And it's not that he didn't love his wife and his daughters. He did very much. But he understood, and he grabbed a hold of the truth that he too would resurrect because he believed in Jesus Christ. And therefore, it's never goodbye. It's just see you later. See you later. A second thing that we know because of the resurrection is that Jesus' love for us is extravagant. Think about it just for a moment. An infinite and transcendent God chose to become finite and dwell on this planet just like you and I do. Now, I'm with you. I can't explain exactly how Jesus was 100% God and 100% human at the same time. But I know this. He was a human being. He had to eat. He had to sleep. He experienced all the same emotions that a human being experiences. He died a very human death. Yet he resurrected. It was miraculous. It was supernatural. It was the power of God on display because he was the one and only Son of God. That proves to us that God's love for us is extravagant. That he would do all of that because he loves us, you. He loves us, and he loves us in an unconditional way. It may be hard for us to believe, but we are the object of God's affection. We are the greatest of all of God's creation because we were created in God's image. And I believe that image yearns for a connection with God. It understands, and at least in part, that there is more to life than this world. A world beyond this world. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 3. May you be able to feel and really understand how long, how wide, how deep, how high God's love really is. May you experience this love for yourself. That's what Easter Sunday is really all about. It's about the declaration that God wants you to know His love. And to know His love is to know that in this world you do not go alone, that Christ walks with you. It's to know that when you die, someone said in the first service, before the service, they said, well, I'm on the right side of the grass today. And I love that statement because I grabbed a hold of it and said, understand, there's no wrong side of the grass for a Christian. If you see roots, you won't see them for very long. Why is that true? Why is eternity true? Because at the core, God is a lover. And He's a lover of you. The third thing that we know is that God really does have the best plan in mind for us. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life. And we have everything to live for, including the future in heaven. And that future starts now. See, it's true we don't have to wait to be in God's presence. We don't have to wait to feel God's presence and power and peace. Out of His love, He wants us to experience that now. He does have a plan for you, and I know what people say. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. God would never love me. He'd never have a plan for my life. And I can tell you, I've heard it all. I've heard it all. And there isn't anything that we can do that would cause God not to love us, to not want to be in personal relationship with us. He wants us to know His love on a day-to-day basis. And all I can tell you is it makes a big difference to ask Jesus to be the leader of your life. At the egg extravaganza yesterday with the little kids, it was really great. I had a chance to talk to one of the new people to our church. And as we talked, we had a similar background, although he was very gracious and didn't acknowledge that what he experienced as a kid in Southern California was 20 years later than me. He was very kind about that. And what did he declare? I was living my life my way, going my own way. And then one day I realized that God's way was a better way. In fact, his father had been praying for him for several years. And he knew the way. He just didn't engage in the way of Jesus Christ. He didn't make that very important second step of asking Jesus to be the leader of our life. It's the second step because God makes the first step to us. He came first. He calls us. And we're able to respond. Now, I believe that when we ask Jesus to lead our life, we know He's leading our life. We know that we're on the path. We have the plan under our feet that God has in store for us. And it's not as though everything is just roses. It isn't that there isn't some pain and suffering and difficulty that we will somehow miraculously never experience. No, we are human beings in a fallen world. But I can tell you this, I have weathered the storms much better not being by myself, not being left to my own devices, but seeking to follow God's plan on a day-to-day basis. It's true. God has a plan for you. And it's a plan that's been specifically fashioned for who you are and what God wants you to do. And all I can tell you is that plan is an expression of God's love to you each and every day. We don't have to wait for heaven. Heaven starts today. It starts the day that we ask Jesus to be the leader of our life. Let's pray together. Lord, it's amazing that you love us knowing everything about us. We always think that we're doing such a good job of hiding from you the sins and the mistakes that we make. But you are all-knowing and you are everywhere and you know everything about us and you still love us. What a profound, unconditional love you have for us. Lord, as we believe in the resurrection, we believe that you bring life out of the dead places in our life. That you want to free us from the bondage of those things that would pull us back and pull us down in life. And Lord, as we make our way, as difficult and as painful as life may be, we know that we don't walk alone, that you walk with us through the valley of the shadow of the dead. Lord, we're thankful for your resurrection and that in you, heaven starts today. Lord, we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, as we close our service this morning, we really wanted it to be a celebration. So we've invited the Epic Kids to come back up, and we're all going to sing and worship together. So please stand with us, clap with us, dance with us, as much as you feel comfortable. It's going to be awesome.
lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free.
Job, epic kids and helpers.